Washed his face and she combed his hair. She combed it neat and narrow. And then she washed that bloody, bloody wound that he got in the yarrow. Her hair, it was 3/4 long, the color it was yellow. She wound it round his waist so small and took him home from Yarrow. Oh, mother dear, go make my bed, go make it neat and narrow. My love, he died for me. I'll die for him tomorrow. Oh, daughter dear, don't be so grieved, so grieved with grief and sorrow. I'll wed you to a better one than you lost in the Yarrow. She dressed herself in clean white clothes and away to the waters of Yarrow. And there she laid her own self down and died on the banks of the Yarrow. The wine that runs through the water deep come from the sons of Yarrow. They all did fight for their own true love in the dewy dens of Yarrow.
Thank you.
I want to introduce this lady to you. Have you ever seen a more beautiful costume than this? This is Mrs. Martha
Olsner
from Newport, from Port Richey. And I want her to walk out here so you can see this beautiful traditional costume. I have a little announcement to make here. You know, you usually...
Which ones am I supposed to do?
Which one do you want to do? Mountain Dew. All right.
There's no lolly treat and a ready for me. We'll lay down a dollar two, then go round the bend and come back again to that good old Mountain Dew. We'll call it that good old Mountain Dew Leo, and in that refuse it a few. Well, shut up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew. My old Aunt June bought some brand new perfume. It had such a sweet smelling pew. Well, she didn't realize that she had it analyzed. It was nothing but good old Mountain Dew. We'll call it that good old Mountain Dew Leo, and the net refuse it a few. Well, shut up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew. My Uncle Morty is sawed off and short, and it measures about 5'2". Well, thinks he's a giant when he gets him a pint of that good old Mountain Dew. Well, call it that good old Mountain Dew Leo, and him that refuses it a few.
on back and sing Tom Dooley. Come on, sing something. Come on. Well, just stand out there and catch it. He said to let him catch his breath, and while he's catching it, why don't you all just stand up for 1 minute? You know, I forget about you. How paralyzed you get.
Well, a folk festival wouldn't be a folk festival if we didn't hear Froggy went a-courtin'. And here's a mighty pretty little girl named Marilyn Rain coming up to the mic to sing it for us. Give her a hand, isn't she pretty?
Frog went court and he did run. Frog went court and he did run. Frog went court and he did run. Piff and sword hung by his side. Rode up to Miss Mouse's house. Rode up to Miss Mouse's house. Rode up to Miss Mouse's house. Tied his horse and went in the house. Took Miss Mouse upon his knee. Took Miss Mouse upon his knee. Took Miss Mouse upon his knee. Said Miss Mouse will marry me. Not without a last consent. Not without a last consent. Not without a last consent. I would not marry the president. Uncle Rat has gone to town. Uncle Rat has gone to town. Uncle Rat has gone to town to buy his niece a wedding gown. Where will the wedding supper be? Where will the wedding supper be? Where will the wedding supper be? Way down yonder in the holler tree. In comes the old squire laugh. In comes the old squire laugh. In comes old Squire Lost, just to marry the frog of the mouth. In comes the cat of Scray. In comes the cat of Scray. In comes the cat of Scray. Then he took Miss Mouse away. See the old frog goes swim across the lake. See the old frog go swim across the lake. See the old frog go swim across the lake. He got swallowed by a big black snake. Brawl and sow hang under the shell. Brawl and sow hang under the shell. Brawl and sow hang under the shell. If you want any more sun, sing yourself. Grass, Papa sitting on a sweet potato vine. Tell me, oh, kind, oh, kind. Oh, Tiggy Gobble came a sneaking up behind, came a sneaking up behind, came a sneaking up behind. Oh, Tiggy Gobble came a sneaking up behind, and he knocked him off that vine. Don't you do that again, don't you do that again, don't you do that again, he said. Yeah, man, don't you do that again, but he knocked him off that vine.
And two more little, well, not little pinks, but little bluebirds. The McDowell sisters from Gainesville, who are going to sing My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean.
My Bonnie is over the ocean. My Bonnie is over the sea. My Bonnie is over the ocean. Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me.
Pretty little dancers who are going to dance the waltz quadrille. Our little Georgia neighbors from Waycross, Waycona Elementary School Group. Come right on, children. Generation cracker fella from way down Kissimmee way and Orlando way, who's the most remarkable whistler you've ever heard. Cousin Jack Parker.
Good afternoon. The answer to the classic question, what's in a name, is, in two words, a lot. Now, if there is a lot in a name, there is a lot more in a collection of names. And the collection of names that I want to talk about today is Florida place names. That means, of course, the names of places in Florida. The names of towns, counties, lakes, rivers, swamps, islands, and wide places in the road. It is a fact that if you had only a list of the names of places in Florida, you could reconstruct its history, describe its topography and climate, and learn about its people, their customs and origins. In the few minutes I have today, I'll try to give you an idea of how this can be done. The place names of Florida fall into three categories. One, names that commemorate somebody or something. Two, names that describe the place or something about the place. And three, names that reveal cultural characteristics of the people. What they've read, what they believe in, what they do for a living, what they think is funny or beautiful or desirable, and so on. Now, as to the commemorative names, there are literally hundreds of place names in Florida which commemorate men and women. The list tells the story of Florida from discovery days on down. Now, for example, 41 of the 67 counties are named after men. And through that list of 41 alone, you can reconstruct the entire history of Florida. You begin with Columbia and Leon counties for Columbus and Ponce de Leon, and come on down through the history of Florida to Gilchrist County, named for Governor Albert W. Gilchrist of the 1920s. And between those limits, the list includes men of all types who are important in the building of Florida. Conquistadores, military men, statesmen, an Indian chief, millionaire developers, and plain settlers who prospered here. And when you add these 41 names to the hundreds of others that commemorate men, you know almost all there is to know about the building of Florida. The place names commemorate events and ideals and other places as well. Matanzas is an old Florida name given almost 400 years ago to make men remember the slaughter of the French Huguenots by the Spaniard Menendez and his men who founded St. Augustine. The name means slaughters in Spanish. And then there is a Court-Martial Creek in West Florida, which commemorates a court-martial held there by General Andrew Jackson to try two army deserters in 1818. An example of a name commemorating an ideal is Union for one of Florida's counties, Liberty for another, and the places remembered in Florida place names would amaze you. They tell us, of course, where the people came from who settled Florida and what places Florida reminded the people of. There are names from every state in the Union and from at least as many foreign countries. The Spanish Pontevedra and Andalusia and the Italian Naples and Venice being some examples. And then we move on to the descriptive names. Take, for example, the names of Orange and Citrus counties. And there are far more than 50 more names which say orange in English and three other languages, without ever having been to Florida, you could look at its place names and know that oranges grew abundantly there. The three other languages that we say orange in our place names for instance, there's a place called Naranja, which is the Spanish name for orange. There's a place called Yalaha, which is the Seminole word for orange. And one named Orantia, which is a form of the Latin botanical designation of a species of orange. And we could, without even looking at Florida, we could tell from her names that the pine tree is indigenous to the state. The name of Pinellas County, formed from the old Spanish name for the same area, is one of the many which tell us of the pine trees. And the name of Palm Beach County tells us that Florida is a land of palms and beaches. And there's Glades County for the Everglades. And names like Winter Haven and Winter Garden to tell us that of its mild climate. And there are the sun names, Sunshine Beach and Sunnyside and Sun City and so forth. And these names and hundreds more give us a pretty complete picture of what grows in Florida, what Florida is like, and even what kind of coastline Florida has. And they also hint to us of the Florida's sources of wealth and the occupations of her people. Now, in some ways, the third category, the cultural names, is most interesting of all. Though it's such a mixed category that it's hard to pick a typical example, but we can chuckle, for instance, at the neighboring names of the neighboring communities, Yankee Town and Cracker Town, and know that the namers chuckle too. And we note with pleasure the proximity of Romeo and Juliet and of Jupiter and Juno, and learn with surprise that Wimama is not an Indian name at all, but an ingenious combination of the names of the three daughters of an old settler, Willie, Maud, and Mary. And we recognize with sudden delight that Teen J is a spelled out version of T and J, the common designation of the old Tampa and Jacksonville Railroad that used to run by that way. We find in the cultural names many such examples of ingenuity and humor, and of literary and religious backgrounds as well. And when we put all the place names of Florida into these three categories and studied them, we have an amazing picture of Florida, its history, and its people, and a lot of interesting sidelights, too. And one of the amusing things about place names, particularly those in the Indian language or other foreign languages, is the stories that grow up around them. Now, these stories, like all folk legends, are made up to explain the inexplicable, and they're usually based on the sound of the name. For instance, there's the well-known Miami story in which a young man tells an Indian maiden that she is beautiful, and she says, "My, am I?" thus furnishing a name for the locality. Another is the folk story surrounding the name of Estefanoga in Madison County, where, they say, the body of a slain Indian provoked this comment from a passerby: "He's stiff and ugly." Actually, Estefanoga probably means Spanish clan or Spanish grove in the Creek language. And the ancient Miami, appearing on Florida's map since the 16th century, seems to have meant big water in one of the lost Indian dialects. Lake Okeechobee was once called Miami, and a long-ago Spaniard who lived captive among the Indians for a while said that it was so called because it was so large. The facts behind a place name are usually much more fascinating than the made-up stories about them, amusing and romantic though these may be. And one that I think may interest us here today is the name of Suwannee, the river a few yards behind me. Suwannee is an old name, and its meaning is hard to find, hard to be sure of. Tale tellers have invented an Indian princess to be its namesake, and scholars have found several plausible possible meanings in various Indian tongues. But when we learn that in the 17th century there was on the banks of this river a Spanish Franciscan mission called San Juan de Guacara, and that this name clung to the river even after the mission was destroyed and the British flag flew over Florida. Light begins to dawn. The Indians tried to pronounce the difficult Spanish name, San Juan de Guacala, and found it hard going. And the result was finally a clipped and slurred version that a British map maker in 1774 took over and from the Indians and spelled Saguana, S-E-G-U-A-N-A. And Sewanee has developed from this. So Sewanee, you see, is not, after all, really an Indian name. It's ultimately Spanish and only partly Indian. Such intriguing place name stories can be told by the dozen of Florida places. And that is not surprising in a state whose own name is the oldest in America and the most meaningful. A name which has an unusual double meaning. It was bestowed during Easter week 446 years ago. And we have the word of a royal Spanish historian that it was given for two reasons. One, because Florida was seen to be a flowery green land, and two, because it was found at Easter time, which is called in Spanish Pascua Florida, or Feast of Flowers. So with a start like this, it is no wonder that the study of Florida place names makes a lively story and a lovely picture.
Thank you, Bertha, for bringing us that fascinating report on Florida place names. And I want you to be sure to ask Josie Billy to tell you the story of the name Lake Ishtapoga. Cousin Alton, don't go. You're not going, are you? Just standing up, resting. Oh, that's fine. I have some pretty little dancers back here. The Suncoast Civic Ballet, and I want to bring them on next because they've waited quite a while back there. And Cousin Pauline Buna, Lois Gilbert are the leaders, the choreographers, and Cousin Pauline is going to introduce the group.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's a wonderful treat for us to be here again this year. We will miss this a great deal if we're not invited in the future. The Suncoast Ballet is now 3 years old. Our first president was our own cousin, Mrs. Leahy, and our present president, Mrs. Gary Walsh. We give three outstanding performances a year, one with the St. Petersburg Symphony, an 80-piece orchestra. And, of course, that is our very formal affair. Then we're associated with the Sunshine Festival. We give a performance at the Florida Theater. And, of course, this we love most of all because you make it so delightful for us. The first dance that these little ones will do, they're not so little anymore, is the Danse Chinoise from the Nutcracker Suite. I know you're all familiar with it, music by Tchaikovsky. The choreography is staged by Imogene Helm, one of our artistic directors. And I will announce the second number later.
Pretty Fair Miss is an old, old English folk song. You know, St. Augustine goes back to 1565, Jamestown, Virginia, 1907. This has an old English background and is probably at least 500 years old. A pretty fair miss, all in a garden. A brave young soldier came riding by. He rode till he came to Pretty Fair Miss and said, Pretty Fair Miss,
won't you fancy I? Oh, no, sir, a man of honor, a man of honor, I take you to be. How could you impose on this fair lady who's not worthy your bride to be? For I have a true lover on the ocean sailing for 7 long years. He's been gone from me, but if he should sail for 7 years longer, no other man could marry me. Oh, suppose he is in some ocean drowned, or suppose he's